Audio Discourse of The Plan for Restoration of Constitutional Government by Gary Hunt, Outpost of Freedom. Episode 10, Part 7, Extension of Influence into State Government. Overview. As occurred at the county level, when sufficient progress has been made in securing substantial areas within the state, even if the capital of the state remains in rebel hands, an interim government can be established to enhance the efforts of the committees, militia, and network of correspondents. Many state agencies have operations centers throughout the state. These facilities can be secured, personnel evaluated, loyalty oaths administered, and continuance of service provided if within constitutional authority. Roads and bridges need to be maintained open. Those facilities exist and can be supervised by militia, committee members, or existing personnel who have taken the loyalty oath. This will be true of other state facilities as well. Those facilities that operate outside of constitutional authority, such as child protective services, welfare offices, etc., should remain closed, rented out, sold, or otherwise utilized to provide financial assistance to the efforts to restore the constitutional government. Determination of what is operating outside of the constitutional authority will be determined by the Committee of Safety. Since all of the states have adopted constitutions, those existing constitutions should, in most cases, provide sufficient security for the people and their rights. It should be understood that at the end of the Civil War, many states were required to submit new constitutions to the federal government for approval prior to ratification. During that same period, many states amended their constitutions to come in line with federal requirements. States that entered the Union after the Civil War had ratified constitutions that were, in some aspects, inconsistent with the Constitution. It is recommended that all states revert their respective constitution and laws as they existed on July 4th, 1860, prior to the Civil War and changes subsequent thereto. States admitted to the Union after that date should review their respective constitution with regard to what is inconsistent with the purpose of the Constitution or appears to be a federal requirement for admission to the Union. This precludes the necessity of review of thousands of laws to determine if they are constitutional and in the best interest of the people. Constitutional amendments can be re-ratified if they are in the best interest of the people, and laws that serve that purpose can be reenacted. It would appear to be far less difficult to begin from then, July 4, 1860, and work forward than to piecemeal undo the plethora of legislation that has not been enacted with the best interest of the people in mind. One other concern is the people who are a threat by their nature to the success of restoration of constitutional government. There are many who have come here legally, and overstayed their permitted visas, and those who have attained citizenship who do not have allegiance to the country and the Constitution. It is also time, as each state re-enters the Union, to declare their purpose. A declaration of dissolution of government, which will follow, which purpose is to present to the world the cause for which constitutional return is sought, should be declared and made public. The following is a proposed document to that end. This should be considered only as a model during the course of conflict, as occurred during the Revolutionary War. More elements of tyrannical or unconstitutional events occurred. Some of those elements that had been suggested earlier by the colonists were abandoned as insignificant to the overall. At the time that their participating states subscribed to the Declaration, it should have been brought up to the needs and exigencies of the time. Historical perspective. On May 10, 1776, the Continental Congress recommended that the various states, quote, adopt such government as shall, in the opinion of the representatives of the people, best conduce to the happiness and safety of their constituents in particular and America in general, close quote. Even though they had existing charters, the colonies chose to determine their futures in accordance with what the people felt most conducive to their future security. Though new constitutions were not adopted by all the states, the form of government within each of the colonies was revised to meet the exigencies of the day. Many continued to operate under their original charters, with the exception of any appointments made by or allegiances to the crown. 2 months later, on July 4, 1776, the states, united, declared to the world their purpose with the adoption of the Declaration of Independence. During this period, many people who would be considered Tories or those inimical to the cause of American liberties were treated little less than enemy forces. They might be placed under house arrest, jailed, or sent scurrying for safe refuge with the British in Boston, New York, Charleston, and other safe havens as refugees. The possibility of a threat to the security, safety, and intelligence of the colonial assemblies and military activities was not allowed to be jeopardized by the presence of such people that did not have the same objective as the colonists. Now here's a proposed Declaration of Dissolution of Government. When a government properly instituted under the authority of the people, by virtue of the Constitution for the United States of America, has abrogated its responsibility under said Constitution and has removed itself from responsibilities imposed upon it by said Constitution, and when those people choose to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinion of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to recognize such dissolution of government. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by the Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and property, that to secure these rights within a society, governments are instituted among men of that society, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. When that government becomes destructive of these ends by usurpation of authority not granted by the people or by abrogation of responsibility, it is the right of the people to reinstitute that government on its original foundation and to amend that foundation to assure that such usurpations and abrogations do not recur. Prudence indeed will dictate that governments long established shall not be changed for light and transient causes. And accordingly, all experience hath shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they have become accustomed. But when long trains of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same object, evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty, to throw off such government and to provide for new guards for their future security. Such has been the patient sufferance of these states united under and by said Constitution, and such is now the necessity which constrains them to amend their former system of government. The history of all three branches of the present government is a history of repeated injuries and usurpations, all having direct object the establishment of an absolute tyranny over these states. To provide this, let facts be submitted to the candid world. They have created a fourth branch of government in administrative agencies that is independent of and not subject to the will of the people. Their courts have refused to rule upon the constitutionality of matters before them. They have imposed taxes that appropriate fully one-third of the value of one's earnings. They have generated a debt obligation on our posterity, still unborn, into the unforeseeable future. They have seduced millions of their people into dependence upon the government at the expense of their neighbors. They have secured for themselves benefit packages approaching those realized by members of royal courts. They have allowed the appointment of officials in capacities not recognized by the Constitution, barred from recourse by the people. They have established control over state and local governments by funding and obligations associated therewith. They have supported the creation of a standing army amounting to over 1 million officers who have both civil and military authority given them by government. They have expanded the standing army by granting policing powers to many agencies of government who have no need to be armed and authorized to use those arms. They have provided undue immunity and impunity to those who have been given such powers. They have enacted laws that have effectively limited the selection of government office holders from two primary parties. They have endeavored to create empire around the world, which serves not the people of this nation. They have waged war without a proper declaration of war, stating who the enemy is and what event will conclude those wars. They have enacted laws well outside of any police powers anticipated by the framers of the Constitution. They have subjected states to arbitrary control of the federal government, contrary to the guaranteed form of republican government within the states. They have allowed the use of fiat currency contrary to the Constitution and have continued this practice under the guise of a national emergency which has existed for over 80 years. They have allowed favored financial institutions to loan money that does not exist to the people at usurious rates. They have loosened the immigration laws that have served this country well through its history and refuse now to enforce those laws that had been enacted to protect our nation from invasion. They have taken states of the Union to court for the state enforcing laws that the federal government refuses to enforce. They have extended their jurisdiction over the jurisdiction of the states, nullifying the state's right to a republican form of government. They have assumed jurisdiction in foreign lands, enforced by kidnapping, torture, and assassination. They have suppressed traditions held dear for centuries in this nation. They have removed the rights of traditional churches and have granted rights to churches foreign to our heritage. They have assumed authority not granted by the Constitution. They have denied the states and the people rights guaranteed and protected by the Bill of Rights. They have refused to abide by the separation of powers doctrine by allowing members of the judicial branches of government to hold office in the legislative and executive branches of government. They have granted to fictitious entities, corporations, associations, unions, and other organizations rights that are recognized to be granted by the Creator only to the people in their individual capacity. They have formed alliances with foreign nations which are objectionable to the intent of the Constitution and grant favors to foreign interests over the interests of the people. They have accused large groups of our population, including veterans who have fought for the country, of being a source of threat to that government, naming them as terrorists. Nor have we been deficient in informing the government of their failure to acknowledge their obligation under the Constitution. Campaigns, letters, phone calls, and demonstrations have been ignored by the government, and those who have voiced objection have been slandered by representatives of the government. A government that has become so inured to its belief in its own supremacy so as not to recognize their obligation to respond with truthful answers to the questions posed by large numbers of people proves a disdain for those governed by that government. We have appealed to their magnanimity, and in return have been chastised as incompetent and called names indicative of their supposed superiority. They have been deaf to the voice of the people and of justice. For these reasons, we have found that this government has dissolved itself and our allegiance thereto and forced us into a state of nature until such time as the Constitution is restored as the supreme law of the land.